Blog Talk Radio.
Paperback Writer.
Showcase new authors, and tonight this is show number 129. It is December 12th 2022, and on tonight's show, the Writers Lounge presents the 2022 Bookshelf Awards show, and we will not have an author on tonight, but we're actually going to have on six of them. I'm your host, Tom Riddell, and co-host Terry Brown will be here with us shortly. Again, a brief intro to today's show. It's a book awards show. So now, more about us. Here's where you can find us out there. Find us on Facebook, The Writer's Lounge, showcasing new authors. Find the book reviews of all of our current shows over at thomasriddell.net. That's thomasriddell.net in the blog section. And the on-demand radio shows can be found there on the podcast page as well. Or go over to the Blog Talk Radio site and search for The Writer's Lounge. Find me on Twitter at TomRiddell56, and our email is writerslounge2020@yahoo.com. If you want to be a guest on the show and have your book reviewed, put guest request in the subject line and we'll get back to you. Special note, we can now be heard on your Alexa device. Subscribe to Apple Podcasts and ask her to play The Writer's Lounge Showcasing New Authors. I'd also like to put in a plug for Goodreads and Read Ediscovery. They both do a great deal to help authors and readers alike. And I also review books on both sites as well. And upcoming authors on the Writer's Lounge, we won't be on in our next show, which would normally be in 2 weeks. We're going to take a Christmas break, a well-deserved Christmas break. And on January 9th, author Rita Bonzi will bring in the new year with her book, When I Was Better. It is a historical fiction novel of love and endurance during Russia's aggression and control of Hungary after World War II. On January 23rd, 2023, guess who will be here, as she always has been since May? Author Terry Brown will be on to talk to us about her new book, An Enemy Like Me. This book takes us back to World War II and the conflict that arises in a man when he has to choose to fight in a war or to stay and love his family. It reminds us all of the sacrifices that are made when we engage in war. I hope you'll tune into these exciting upcoming new shows in the new year here in upcoming 2023. And now I would like to bring on, normally it's Writer's Topics, but I'm going to bring on Terry. And I am excited tonight. I don't know what it is. I have like butterflies racing through my stomach for some reason. So Terry, she's taking a seat next to me here in our make-believe lounge of the Writer's Lounge. And right over there in the bookshelf, if you can see it, Terry, there are six books sitting there. And one of them on that lower shelf is going to go up on the top shelf. Right now on the top shelf, we have from last year, a lady by the name of Deidre Sinnott wrote the third Mrs. Galway, and she will be replaced tonight. But I want to thank Deidre for her time with us for the last year where her book sat there, and somebody else will be sitting there tonight. So, Terry, how are you feeling tonight? Because I understand that you're one of the nominees of the six.
I am. So, yeah, I'm a little excited and a little curious as to which one of us made it. Super proud that I'm on the list at all. So, you know, that's really great. And, I'm excited. I'm really curious to see what you've decided.
So I'd like to talk a little bit before we get into it, but you came on, I believe, in May. And I think Rob Sanborn's book, his first novel out, was the one that we sat down and interviewed him for.
That was my first interview with you.
Right. And so how have you enjoyed your experience here?
Oh, working, you know, doing the podcast, I love it. I love talking with the other authors. I love finding out what I have in common with them and what we do differently. You know, try to glean any information from, you know, what are other people doing and how are they doing it. I really love it when an author says something along the lines of the voices in my head talk to me, because that happens to me all the time. So, yeah, that's great.
So I imagine this has given you a lot of encouragement to go on with your second book that will be out here shortly, right?
Yeah, it has. And I really love talking with authors. I love talking with people in general. And to be able to come on, you know, twice a month and chat about books and book topics and, you know, what got people to decide they were going to write and everything else, it's just a lot of fun for me.
And we love having you here on the Writer's Lounge. So let's get on to, as we say, the main topic for tonight, the Writer's Lounge 2022 Bookshelf Awards. This the six nominated books are read and reviewed by myself within the year 2022. To qualify, the author must be a new author defined as publishing three or less books in the course of their writing career. There were 9 books out of 24 that listed as 5-star reviews, so it was a challenge to narrow that list down to 6, and all of them were great reads, and I can't thank the authors enough for allowing me to escape into their stories. We will break down the presentation in 3 parts. The first segment will be the list of the 6 nominees, and the second segment will list the top 3 books. And then we will announce in the third segment the winner of the Writer's Lounge 2022 Top Shelf Book for this year. I encourage our listeners to search for these book titles and to learn more about them. I won't be discussing or reading the total reviews that I did on their books, but I will be mentioning segments of that review. And again, thanks to Deidre Sinnott for her book, Third Mrs. Galway, which sat there on the top shelf for the entire year. So here are the nominees for 2022 in random order. Number 1, Perfectly Imperfect by Connie Howell. When I picked up this book and began to read it, I realized that the title doesn't really do justice to explaining the content, because there is so much more here that the author delves into. Without mentioning the specifics, Connie Howell touches on all the essentials of human growth, imperfections, and the complete essence of what it means to be human. One of my favorite quotes in the book is this: remember, we are not humans having a spiritual experience. We are spiritual beings having a human experience. This is a must-read book. Number two, Black, White, and Gray All Over by Frederick Reynolds. In today's society, being a cop is an occupation overwhelmed with stress and danger, but it is rare that a police officer would share his experiences with us, especially going deep into the stories that define their career, which Fred Reynolds courageously does in this book. He covers just about every aspect of crime, from the streets to dirty cops and political corruption. He doesn't hold back. This is a ride along like no other. It is a must read. Number three, Sunflowers Beneath the Snow by Terry M. Brown. Being a timely piece of writing with the atrocity of war now hammering Ukraine, I was entertained by the story and I learned much about the people of Ukraine. I could not put down Terry's book and finished it in record time. The story pulled me in and wouldn't let go. It was riveting and the writing was masterful. Terry Brown may be floating in the clouds after reading all these five-star reviews, but she'll need some heavy shoes to keep her at the keyboard because she has the stuff of a best-selling author, and she's already on to her second novel. This book, the first one, is a must-read novel. Number four, Intrepid Spirit by David Tuno. A lover of history and a good entertaining fictional tale, Intrepid Spirit delivered beyond what I could have imagined. The author has a wealth of experience in many professions, including screenwriting, sailing, and acting, and he brings it all to the pages in this novel. David Tuno delivers some of the best action-packed scenes that I have ever read and on the edge of your seat movie in a book. For the historic and entertainment value, this is a must-read. Number five, Painter of the Damned by Rob Sanborn. Rob Sanborn is simply a master at his craft. This story enchanted me with history, magic, art, adventure, and the characters were absolutely captivating. He has a talent that is equal to or even surpasses that of author Dan Brown. The literary visuals that he creates in his stories is worthy of a major screenplay production, generating excitement and intrigue from the first page to the last page. If you like action-packed titles of adventure with an interesting blend of history thrown in, you're going to love this one. For everything I mentioned, this is a must-read. Number six, American Nomads by Nancy McLaughlin. I read and review many books over the course of a year, and it is not often that I come across a story that focuses on this mostly unknown segment of a population, American nomads. I find the lives of these people very interesting, and I crave to learn more. In this respect, the author has delivered beyond what I could have imagined. Although this is a work of fiction, the characters are rich and absorbing, and it's hard to believe they don't actually exist. Many readers, editors, and publishers have said that the characters steer a story and make or break a book. American Nomads should serve to define what good character development is all about. Hands down, one of the best and most memorable character-driven stories I have ever read. I look forward to reading more in this series. Okay, Terry, that's the end of that segment. And, of course, your book is in there amongst the other ones. And I know that you have been on interviewing most of these people. I think maybe there's maybe one that you have. And I think you weren't on for Frederick, but the rest of them.
That's correct.
You were here for. So any ideas or any comments about those fine six novels?
No. So I think it's interesting that, you know, five of them are the novels, and then the one that is perfectly imperfect really isn't a novel as much as it's a more of a memoir,
more of a self-help kind of
more
self-help memoir. Yes,
right. Yeah. And so the fact that you've got some really different genres in there too is going to make this a very interesting, that's one of the things I love about being part of this show is it's not just, like, I write historical fiction right now, and it's not just historical fiction. So, you know, it's historical fiction, and it's, you know, self-help / memoir, and it's, you know, more of a you know, modern day, whatever. I love that. I love that we have so many different genres to look at. So, and I know, what are your thoughts?
Yeah, in relation to that, I totally agree. What I really enjoy is sitting down and talking, not about the, you know, I enjoy, you know, the fictional aspects of the books, but I also love the nonfiction parts of doing interviews too, because I like to get into the subject matter of a story. And I even like to do that with fiction, but even more so when we had Connie on, I think I mentioned to you, but we got several comments regarding that interview, and they really loved it because they learned a lot from it. They learned a lot about us, you and I, and Connie. So we all kind of gelled when we interviewed there, and it went very well,
right.
I thought. And her book is a really, really, really good book to read. Like you say, it's not just about self-help. I think in the past it reads more like a textbook, some of these books. But this was a sort of a memoir where you got to go into the author's life and learn about her and how all of these things that she mentioned applied to her life. So I really, really
right.
enjoyed that. And also the
right.
other book that you weren't on for was Black, White, and Gray All Over with Frederick Reynolds.
Right. Right.
I'm a former criminal justice student, and I worked in the area of public safety and criminal justice for 30 years in my career. So I really enjoyed talking to Fred. And I think with everything that's been happening in the world lately, it's a good idea for people to gain the perspective of a police officer who's out there doing a job, not the bad ones, but the good ones. And to get an idea of what Fred had to deal with on all fronts, it was amazing. And I haven't been in contact with Fred, but I hope that in the near future we will meet up and we'll see where his book lands here in the final segment of our show. And that would bring us on to segment number two, where we will narrow it down by taking off three, which was very difficult to do for me.
I'm sure. I kind of, at this point now, at this point with me standing here knowing that I'm one of the six, I feel like those, like the Miss America pageants, you know, where all the women are standing there and they're all kind of like holding hands and looking back and forth at one another.
Yeah. Or American Idol, too.
Yeah, that same, you know, it's like, okay, who's going to make it?
Yeah, and I have butterflies, too, because even though I know, it's still very exciting for me. And so let's get on with this. And here we go. Of the six, the final three of our book Shelf Awards show would be number one, American Nomads by Nancy McLaughlin. Number two, Painter of the Dam by Rob Sanborn. Number three, Sunflowers Beneath the Snow by Terry M. Brown.
Terry
so
M. Brown
it.
Is currently dancing around the office.
There you go. There you go. So it was amazing. And I want to say, too, that this is going to be a shortened show. It was scheduled for 45 minutes. It may not make 45 minutes. But I want to remind everybody out there, if you'd like to call in, I know there's a couple authors out there that are mentioned here tonight that are listening. So if you would like to call in, you can do that. And the number is area code 914-219-0868. Again, the area code is 914-219-0868. And you can do that, but wait till the final chapter, as we call it, after we announce the winner. And that will be coming up very shortly. And I want to say, Terry, that all three of the top three were excellent books. And I debated with myself for hours as I pulled these from the six nominees. It was a very tough exercise because I had to leave three behind, which was not easy for me. I actually reread several of these books in order for me to rate them fairly. I looked at conflict as it relates to plot development. I looked at character development, and I paid close attention to how long I stayed with the pages, which I call page-turning addiction. What brings me to choosing the number one top shelf book, all of what I just mentioned has to be there, but the number one ingredient was, what was the one book that kept me thinking about it well after the last page was read? And now, if we had drums, we would do a drum roll. And now I will reveal that book to you. And there's Terry with a drum roll. And here it is. The Writer's Lounge 2022 Top Shelf Book winner is Sunflowers Beneath the Snow by Terry M. Brown. Congrats, Liz.
Oh, wow.
Congrats to you, Terry.
Oh, wow. And knowing it was up against those other books that I read and enjoyed so much. Oh, my gosh. Well,
yes.
Tom, I'm speechless again. Wow.
Yes. And I'm sitting here excited, too, because it's really, really been a pleasure to have you on the show. It's been a pleasure reading your book and excited for your next novel coming out. And I would say that you had some really stiff competition there. Near the end, we had, of course, Rob Sanborn and Nancy McLaughlin gave you a ride for your money, but they all, including you, are fantastic authors, in my opinion. And when I say nominee, it's not that I have 12 people out here not making nominations. It's only me. So I have to sit down and sift through all of the, I think, 25 books that I've reviewed through 2022. And yours was not ever has never fallen behind. So you did a fabulous job. So what I'd like you to do now.
Thank you so much.
Yep. What I'd like you to do now is tell me a little bit more about your second novel, which you're going to release, I believe, what, on January 24th? Is that it?
January 24th, yeah. So, so the second one is, it's called An Enemy Like Me. It's a historical fiction, World War II, but it takes a really different twist and look at World War II by following a soldier who is a first-generation German-American. And he, fighting as a soldier in the war for the United States, thinks he's going to go to Japan, and he ends up in Germany. And by being in Germany, he realizes he is more like the enemy than he is different from the enemy. So we kind of look at, like, war and what is it and what makes an enemy, and we look at it from his point of view, from his wife's point of view, and then he also has a four-year-old son who's left behind. And so we look at it from that child's point of view and also from that child once he's a grown man and looking back and seeing how having his father go to war when he was a small child kind of affected him and the rest of his life.
Very good, very good. Was there any challenges in writing this book as compared to the first book? Any things that were more difficult, or did certain things come easier for you?
Yeah, I think, well, some of it is easier just because if you as you do more and more writing, novel-length writing, it becomes a little more it just feels like you know where you want to go next, like it just felt more comfortable. But, I always try to write in a way that my characters come alive. And trying to write from a four-year-old's perspective and make it something valuable can be really hard because four-year-olds you know, they obviously have feelings and they obviously are complex, but they also have limited vocabulary. And so trying to find a way to express what a four-year-old is experiencing as their father goes off to war, that was really challenging to me. And then I think the other challenge was is that this story is very loosely based on some family stories. So it was trying to take those stories and then remind myself that this was not a biography of my family, and that it was okay to change things up as needed to, you know, really produce a good book, as opposed to trying to stay, you know, accurate to something maybe my grandfather had experienced or whatever.
Wow. How long did it take you to write that book?
So I pretty much did it the same way I did Sunflowers. I went on a 2-week writer's retreat and I got the first draft out in those 2 weeks. And then I come back and I do editing. I usually go on another writer's retreat and I do some major editing. And then once I get it to my editor and have her decide what other edits I need to have done, I either get it done at the house or I go and give myself another week somewhere else. I believe with an enemy like me, I created a writer's retreat at my mom's house. She was gone on vacation. So I went to her house and I just stayed there by myself and got, you know, a majority of the edits done. So probably maybe 4 or 5 weeks of just like really writing. Because when I go on a retreat like that, that's all I do is I write. And every now and then I remember to eat and shower. But other than that, I just write.
and also spend time with your wonderful husband, Bruce, too, right?
Well, when I'm on a writer's retreat, I leave him at home.
Oh, you do? Okay, I see.
Yeah, no, I love my husband dearly. But one of the reasons I don't write at home, I mean, I do, and I have been lately writing at home because he's ill and it's a little scarier to leave. And so I've been home a lot. But I don't write as well at home because the laundry needs doing and people need me to fix dinner and, you know, the dog needs to go out. And, you know, I look outside and think, oh, I need to bring the trash can up and all those things that kind of like get in my way. But when I'm on a writer's retreat, it's me and my computer. And there's nobody that expects anything from me. And so I'll write and write and write. I'll get up in the morning and I might write for 7 or 8 hours and realize that I have not gotten up out of that chair.
Wow. Wow.
So I tell people I'm a binge writer. It's kind of scary. It's like a binge drinker, except I just write.
Yeah, it's kind of like me. I don't spend every day in here writing. I just write when the inspiration hits me. And I make time
exactly.
for it, and because I'm a retired guy, it's a lot easier for me. I don't have to worry about you know, other jobs or anything like that. So I just sit down and I go at it. So that makes it more pleasurable for me than to try to restrict myself to some kind of time format, which I think would probably drive me crazy. But I know with a lot of these traditional authors that are traditionally published, that's what they have to do. They have to meet their, you know, assignment
meet
or their next goal. Deadlines,
yeah.
Yes. So if you're a Stephen King.
I have a real problem with people telling me what I need to do. And it's like an actual problem, like probably something I should get, you know, help over, because I don't like it when someone says this is what you should be doing and when you should be doing it. So the idea that I would be like forced to sit down and write 1 hour every day between, you know, 7 a.m. and 8 a.m. would make me crazy. Like, I have no desire to have to write that way. I would much rather get in the mood and sit down and write for 10 hours. And then maybe I'm not going to write again for a week, but that's okay because I've already put in 10 hours.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah. That's kind of my style.
I think there's something that clicks in your head. It's kind of like if you got something that you got to do, you don't procrastinate. At least I don't, because I have that little voice in my head saying, you got to get this done. And when you've got a story and you've got the characters talking to you in your head, and what a lovely, wonderful life we live as authors, having people talk to us in our heads, huh? So then we have to sit down and we have to do the story because we're being told you got to get this done. So it's self-discipline.
Right.
And I think that if you stick to that, that's fine. I would love to do a lot more writing than I actually do. I keep telling myself I want to, you know, make time out for that, but I never really get around to it because I have so much other stuff happening.
So many things that you enjoy. Yeah.
Right. Right. Other things in life that I enjoy. I obviously enjoy reading because I do an awful lot of that too, but I do know that Sunflowers Beneath the Snow has won other awards, not just here in the Writer's Lounge. Can you tell me a little bit about those experiences for you? Because I'm sure you were jumping up and down for those award nights too.
Yeah, I have been. It has been really crazy. To be able to say that I am an award-winning author now, it's like, oh my gosh, because you have to think about it. Less than a year ago is when my book came out, and that's my debut novel. So I'm still, you know, I'm still very much in the, this is the first time this has ever happened to me. This is the first time this has ever happened to me. So early on, it got what's called a Reader's Favorite 5-Star Award, and then it won the Historical Fiction Company Highly Recommended Award. And both of those were done when the books were read and they were just given those as part of the editorial reviews that happened. And I was thrilled with both of those. Then I won first place in the historical fiction division of the International Firebird Book Award. And then I was a finalist in the 19th Annual Best Book Awards in historical fiction. And then I got longlisted for the Shelf Unbound Best Indie Book of 2022, and now it just got the Bookshelf Award for 2022 with you. So, yeah, that's six.
Right, right, and you know what's coming next, don't you, Terry? It's the coveted New York Times best-selling author, Terry M.
Well,
Brown.
Wouldn't that be wonderful? I would love that. But still, I'm really waiting because I understand it's going to take someone like an Oprah who finally reads the book. Trust me, I've sent it to her, but it doesn't seem to have mattered. But yeah, I wonder, like, how does that happen? But I also look at a lot of the books that are big and that made it and, you know, often go on to get movies and other things. And I've recognized a lot of those books did not get noticed in the first year that they were out. Sometimes they don't get recognized until they've been out 3 or 4 years, and all of a sudden they catch on. Someone big enough finally sees it and begins to talk about it. And
right.
I remind myself all the time that books are not like milk. They do not have an expiration date. So there's always time.
Yeah. So Oprah, if you're listening,
Oprah, right? Jenna Bush.
Listening here.
You know, anyone who has a great book list that wants to talk about my book, please do. I would, you know, give me a call. I'm more than willing to talk with you about my book.
Well, I'm going to make a prediction here, and I'm going to say, and I have been on par over the last 11 years with a few top-notch authors that have come out of our show, and I have predicted, and I have predicted correctly, several of them. I can think at least 4 or 5 of them made a prediction. And so here's my prediction for you. It is going to be archived on this show tonight, so you can go back and listen to it in 2 years, because I believe that by 2025, you will have that designation in front of your name or after your name.
Oh, wow. Well, Tom, if that is true, I'll fly you down to visit me. We'll go out to dinner and celebrate.
All right. That sounds good. And what I have to do is I have to get over, this is for all of our listeners out there too, that would like a copy of Sunflowers Beneath the Snow, that you can go to Terry's website, and I'll let her give you the address here in a second. But I also need to get over there and purchase a book because I want a signed copy so it can go on my top shelf here in my office. So there is an actual shelf.
Fantastic. There's an actual shelf.
Yes, there is an actual shelf. And I have Deidre's book here, looking right at it right now. And so...
Which, by the way, I read... You told me about that book, and I read it and absolutely loved that book. It was excellent.
Yeah, she's an amazing woman, too, and I believe she's currently writing another novel. I don't know if it's a continuation of that first story, but she is busy writing another novel. So hopefully we can get her on, and she's a wonderful woman to talk to, another great author. We have lots of them, and excuse me while I clear my cough here. But Terry, I think we're nearing the end of our broadcast here, and I want to take this opportunity to congratulate you again on the books that you've been writing, and especially Sunflowers Beneath the Snow. And it's been wonderful for you to be here with us to share in the experience of winning. And I'm glad that we were able to bring that excitement to you. So the next book...
Well, I'm thrilled. This is a great day.
Yes, it is. It is a great day. And the next show, again, we will not be here on December 26th because Terry and I have a date with Santa Claus. I think that we're going to take a break and bake some cookies or whatever we do around the holidays and be with family. And I like to wish you, Terry, a very Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. And on January 9th, 2023, author Rita Bozzi will be here. When I Was Better, she's also from your neck of the woods, Terry, as far as being, she is, I'm stuttering here because I just dropped the name right out of my head. But she's with Atmosphere Press also. And it's a historical fiction novel of love and embrace, endurance during Russia's aggression and control of Hungary after World War II. And what I find interesting about this book, Terry, is it has a lot to do with a lot of what you wrote in Sunflowers Beneath the Snow. It's a different place, but the characters are similar and the story is just as captivating, and I can't wait to finish it. I'm in the middle of it now, and I can't wait to talk to Rita about this story. It's a wonderful story.
Fantastic. I look forward to it as well.
Right. So until then, Terry and I will see you next time on the Writer's Lounge, where we encourage writers and readers to keep the pen and eyes to the page and to let the story begin. Enjoy yourselves and be well. Merry Christmas and good night.
If they asked me, I could write a book about the way you walk and whisper and look. I could write a preface on how we met, so the world would never forget. And the simple secret of the plot, it's just to tell you that I love you a lot. Then the world discovers, as my book ends, how to make two lovers a friend. lie.